We could call it this: life is horrible without Jesus. That's kind of the way I would title this chapter. Now remember, those of you that are taking this for credit, you have your devotional journal. Don't forget to do that. You got to turn it in before class ends. Where you do, well, let's just do chapter 16 of Revelation. I'll just do one for you. So listen. So Revelation 16, first of all, you summarize 16th chapter, kind of give it a title, a summary in form of a title. You know what a title is? It's not a paragraph. A title is a short phrase or a single sentence. And this is how I would title the 16th chapter: Life Without Jesus and Armageddon. Life Without Jesus. So you write Life Without Jesus. Then you look at the lessons or truths that are in the 16th chapter. What are those? Well, I'm going to go through them with you right now. I just thought it would be fun for you to see how to do one of these chapters. Have you ever wondered what the world would be like without Jesus? In fact, I know that this being on YouTube, that there are probably some of you, if you've lasted this long, 40 minutes into this video, that you might not even be a Christian. But what is life like without Jesus? If you're considering Him and haven't decided, you're looking but you haven't placed your heart's desire in Christ, you haven't chosen to follow Him, then pay close attention to this 16th chapter. It shows you exactly what life without Jesus would be like. It's the most graphic, vivid, and powerful description in all the scriptures of what hell is like. Think about it. This 16th chapter is a taste of hell. Now that could be another title. You could say a taste of hell for your devotional journal, okay? In 21 dramatic verses of chapter 16, John sees and records what happens when mankind joins the fallen angels in living without God. I'll just summarize, okay? Here are the lessons, okay? The first bowl, human bodies will ooze malignant sores as all the evil within them. The inward corruption starts showing up on the outside. The second bowl, Earth's oceans become death, and they wash up on every shore. The waters of the sea are filled with life, but it becomes a stench of dead blood, it says, of man's hopelessness apart from God. The third bowl, all the water has the stench of corruption rising, and it's absolute desperation because all of them are poisoned and people don't have anything to drink. The fourth bowl, people's bodies burn from a solar fire pouring down from the sky. The fifth bowl, an instantaneous, impenetrable darkness. It goes from the brightness of the blazing sun to inky black darkness with that fifth bowl. The sixth bowl, the waters of the Euphrates River dry up, and a demon trio round up the Antichrist army. And then the seventh bowl, as all the earth dwellers gather, God unleashes the greatest earthquake of all time. You know, we have magnitude 8 earthquakes. Someone even said that the Sumatra quake may have measured 9. This is going to be a 10. Okay? It's going to be the most powerful earthquake ever to hit the earth. It obliterates all monuments and levels, all cities, and islands in the ocean sink, and hailstones weighing over 60 pounds start slamming down on earth. Wow. It's the final days of mankind's unending fight with God, and at last they are brought the freedom of what they've always wanted. Life without God. That's what mankind's always wanted, and God gives it to them finally. Now look at the slide. Remember the sequence. The seven seals go from 6:1 to 8:1 of Revelation. The seven trumpets go from 8:1 to 11:15. The seven bowls start at 11:15 and go all the way to 16:15. And that's the whole span of the 7 years. We've already seen the seven sealed scroll in chapter 6. You can see it before you. Then these trumpet judgments have sounded, and we've gone through all those from chapter 8, verse 1 through 11:15. But now the seven bowls of wrath. 16:2, sores on men with the mark. 16:3, a sea of blood. Everything dies in the sea. 16:4-7, rivers become, the water of the rivers become blood, like in Egypt. 16:8-9, the sun scorches with fire. 16:10-11, darkness in the beast's kingdom. 16:12-16, the Euphrates and the kings of the east come. So, life without Jesus, number one, is kind of like having a deadly, incurable disease. Look at the description. 16:1. I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of wrath of God on the earth. So the first went, poured out his bowl. Remember the picture? We talked about this a couple of classes ago, that it's the throne of God, the edge of the crystal sea, earth, is kind of seen below them. This angel comes out of the temple walking to the edge, and he takes that bowl and he pours it out on the earth. And as that bowl of wrath descends on the earth, listen to what happens. A foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Wow. And the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea. Wow. And what happens there? Keep going. Life without Jesus is like dying of thirst. In verse 4, the third angel pours out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they become like blood. And I heard the angel of the water saying, you are righteous, O Lord. Remember? Righteous, just in his wrath. God has warned and warned and warned, and his spirit has been striving with mankind since the Garden of Eden, but now he says, enough. I'm pouring out my wrath. What's interesting is, as you see on the slide, life without Jesus is like dying of thirst. Christians, John 7, see that reference on the slide? John 7, 37-39. When God saves us, his spirit moving within us is like a river of life-giving water flowing out of us. We become like fire hydrants. Wherever you are, like right now, if you have roommates, if you're living at home with your family, if wherever you are. In fact, I got a note last night from someone over in Germany who's watching these in a hotel in Germany. I mean, he just wrote me last night and said, I am watching the Revelation class in Germany in a hotel. In that hotel in Germany or wherever you are, we're supposed to be like a hydrant of the water of life flowing out to people that are so dying of thirst around us. Because life without Jesus is like dying of thirst. And Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes on me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. Next slide, life without Jesus is like being enslaved to the worst master. What does it say in verse 8? The fourth angel poured his bowl. He comes to the edge of the throne, pours his bowl on the sun. And power was given to him to scorch men with fire. Verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God. Wow. Enslaved to the worst master. John 8:31-36, Jesus said that he has come to set us free, and if we come to him, we're free indeed. Next, life without Jesus is like living in total darkness. Verse 10, the fifth angel poured his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And finally, life without Jesus is like endless despair. It's the idea of being never able to overcome the bondage, the discouragement, the depression. That's why one of the greatest mortalities among young people is suicide, the cause of death, because they're in endless despair.